to Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9, please. And you found it if you'd stand for the reading of the word. Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Lest any man should boast. That was me. Lord, I pray you be with us tonight. Speak through me, Lord. Don't let me get in the way. Lord, I pray I'd be a blessing and reach out to everyone tonight, Lord. And your will would be done through me. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'll be seated. I know in public speaking, you're supposed to look at your crowd, look at your audience, not check your notes, not do that. Well, this is pretty much on-the-fly kind of thing, and so I'm going to be looking at my notes a lot. Please don't be offended. I like all you guys, but that's just how it's going to be. I wanted to be that man. I was lost growing up. My family was agnostic or atheist, or they didn't know what they thought. But I would consider it a blessing, too. How I would have liked to grow up in a godly home, it would have been great, but it showed me the man I didn't want to be once I got saved. Grew up lost, family. We had a pretty good family, your average family. I had a brother and a sister, mom and dad. Average family, mom and dad got divorced when I was 11. That kind of put me in a dark spot, whether I've showed it outwardly or not. My uncle and my grandma would take me to church occasionally, and I would dread it at night when they told me they were going to take me, and the next morning I went anyways, and I ended up always leaving church with a sense of wonder and kind of just an empty space in my heart, and it bothered me, but I was kind of too young maybe to realize what exactly was going on. I remember, and that was middle school, and then high school came on, and I was just too cool for any of that, and I said I didn't need any of that, and I was a fool. As Psalm 14:1 says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt and they have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. I was that fool. For the rest of my sophomore year in high school, I did things, you know, people under the age of 18 or 21 probably shouldn't be doing. And then one night, I woke up with a great fear in my heart. I couldn't sleep and I wondered, where is God? Is he real? What have I done? I couldn't stop the feeling that I'd done something wrong, and I didn't sleep that night. I actually didn't sleep well for the next couple of weeks. There was a kid I'd gotten to know in school. His name was Peter. He was a really awkward kind of guy. Not awkward necessarily, but he was peculiar. That's a word I used to learn later in my walk. But I knew Peter was Christian. He had a big family. They just moved to town, and we got along, and I was, you know, I still was too cool to go to church or too cool to do anything but what I wanted to do. But Peter liked fishing, and I liked fishing. So one day, Peter and I went out. We went fishing, and it started raining by the river. And so we moved up to his house, and we started fishing at the pond. It started raining there. And so next thing I know, Peter invites me over for dinner, and we have dinner. And there was a party there for a foreign exchange student they had, and a bunch of the weird kids I thought were there. It was the Christian kids that I went to school with. And it was strange to see them outside of school. You know, they're actually normal people, but they just didn't act the way I acted. And this is the thing I like to think of as a God thing. I didn't think about it until later when I got saved. But in Mark 4:18 through 20, it applied to Peter and I that day. Verse 18 says, "And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him." God is good. That's all I have to say about that. So Peter and I went fishing. We got rained out. And we had dinner, and it was getting late. And Peter says, "Hey, you want to stay with me?" And it was a Saturday night. He's like, "We got to go to church in the morning. That's the only thing." I said, "Oh, yeah, sure, whatever." And me being me, I was like, "Oh, I think I'm more of a Buddhist, but I'll go with you." I told him that, and I now think I was an idiot, but it's okay. So he took me to, next morning came around, and we went to church. I actually tried to shut everything out, just being stubborn. I didn't want to hear it. But that wasn't what God had in plan for me. For the first time in my life, I heard the complete gospel that day, loud and clear. I didn't make a decision that day. I didn't walk down the aisle or raise my hand or pray a prayer. But there was a storm in my heart, and I didn't know what was going on. Acts 15:7 says, "And when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, Men and brethren, you know that a good while ago God made choice among us, that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe." Now the gospel may not have come out of this Peter's mouth, but this Gentile had heard it that day. Now remember, just because you preach the gospel to someone and they don't make a decision that day, that doesn't mean that God isn't working in their hearts and lives. In Matthew 13, Jesus gives the parable of the sower and the seed and the soil. Some of the seed was eaten by birds when it was cast to the side. Some landed in rocky soil and shot up quick, but it didn't last long. Others landed in the thorns and they were drowned out. Some landed in good soil, though. Peter and Pastor Hishma that day sowed the seed, but someone else got the privilege of harvesting it. I went home and spent that Mother's Day with my mom, and I was never at ease, even though I tried to drown it out. So I went home to Dad's house that night, and I tried to sleep, and I couldn't sleep. And I thought of this guy I knew in high school. We acted young and dumb together in freshman year, but then he kind of became one of those weird kids. And in school, I'd heard him talking about Jesus and the gospel and getting saved. And that night, I got a hold of him, and I was texting him because I was too cool to call him. But I told him that I wanted to get saved, and I wanted to know more about Jesus. And Mark thought I was making fun of him because that's the kind of person I was before I was saved. I was mean, I was nasty, I was not a great guy to be around. But Mark talked me through it, and we talked for a good 2 or 3 hours on the phone that night. It was a school night, and we lived, about 30 minutes away from each other, and that's just how country living goes. But Mark shared the gospel with me and made sure that I understood what he was saying, and asked if I was ready for Jesus to be the Lord of my life. I said, absolutely. He gave me an idea of what to pray, told me how to pray it, and I prayed and prayed and prayed that night. We got off the phone. He told me to meet him in the morning early at school so we could talk. And that night, for the first night ever, I slept in complete peace. Mark and Peter and several other friends had met me there that morning. They made sure I had a Bible, and they brought me to their Bible study before school. The friends I made there are the only ones I still talk to from school to this day. 1 Peter 2:12 says, "Having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation." I still praise God for the way Mark and Peter acted in public. They didn't try to act like everyone else. They weren't worried about pleasing other people. They shined a light in the darkness that I was able to see, and that was all God. So remember, when you're living your life out in public or at school, at work, you may not be actively witnessing to someone, which you still should be, but you might be that light in the darkness, the only one they see. Growing up with lost parents and getting saved, I had no older godly man to give me wise counsel, to talk to me about things. I couldn't ask him questions. For the most part, I just had peers who had been saved maybe a year or two longer than I had. And that was getting me into trouble. I was freshly saved, but I was still in an outward sin that kind of hurt my witness quite a bit. But I finally got a hold of my uncle. And as Proverbs 1:4-6 says, "To give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings." There are lots of other proverbs about getting wise counsel, and I finally read my Bible and realized that's probably something I should do. My Uncle Greg, he was a deacon at my home church. He was a godly man, had a great family, and he was very excited that the kids he'd been praying for were starting to get saved. I sowed many gospel seeds the first few years as a Christian. My early years were without counsel, as I said, and I was still stuck in some pretty bad things. So a good amount of the gospel seeds I scattered, you know, they went by the wayside, were eaten by birds, or they landed in the rocky soil. A few of them found their home in the good soil, though. One of those good ones was Lauren. Praise the Lord for working through us regardless of our failures. I knew Lauren all of high school. She was a class ahead of me, but we had a couple classes together my freshman year. And she had a boyfriend, but that didn't stop me from liking her. So I got to know her a little bit my freshman year, and we kind of drifted apart through the last couple years of high school. That is until the summer after my junior year. Lauren and I had a mutual friend through my Bible study, and she had grown up with her. And she finally got Lauren to come to one of the Bible studies that night, and I ended up being able to share the gospel with her. And her friend that night was able to lead her to the Lord. Of course, me being the suave, debonair guy I was, I swooped in and picked her right up. I knew she was something good because she grew fast and she didn't falter. She loved the Lord, and then she loved me, which is the priority I needed her to have. She rebuked me for quite a few things I was doing. She helped me to clean my act up a little bit, all through the Lord. If it wasn't for her, I don't know where I would be. If it wasn't for God, I know I wouldn't be here. So I graduated, she graduated, and I stayed and finished school. She went to KU. We saw each other a couple times a week. Our Bible study with our friends, most of them were older than us, so they'd still come back from college every weekend if they could, and we'd get together, and we were still growing for the most part, and it was good. So summer came around for my senior year. I graduated, and then I enlisted, and Lauren switched her college to K-State, which is about an hour and a half away, so I didn't have anything going for me, so I packed up and moved. I lived with my friend out there, and we had a closer Bible study out there, and they didn't have to come an hour and a half back just to see me. So December came around, and we said our stoppy goodbyes, and I went off to San Antonio. And basically, I went to the chapel every Sunday for the military guys. You know how much that isn't spiritually growing. Thanks to Big Brother not wanting to hurt anyone's feelings. But we sang our songs and clapped our hands or got a couple minutes of soft preaching, and then we went home. I started to grow weak, and a guy I'd gotten to know in basic, he was a good Christian guy. And so we had to form our own Bible study at late night. We'd make sure we pulled CQ together and so we could talk to each other and read our Bibles. High schools came around, and I attended Grace Bible Church in San Antonio every Sunday I could get away for some real spiritual food. And then Lauren and I got engaged while we were in tech school because, believe it or not, the Air Force doesn't bend to your will and put you where you want to be. And, of course, all my plans were dashed the second I found that out, but I was glad to be coming in Montana. After tech school was over, I had a couple of weeks at home. Lauren and I got married, and 2 days later I turned 19, and we packed a U-Haul and left for Montana. We found a loving church. We've been here 4 years and two babies, and the rest is history. That story there is why I love Jesus. No, I'm not perfect. Yes, I still sin. I will continue to sin, and I will continue to not be perfect, but I will also continue to grow. And again, as Ephesians 2:8-9 says, "For by grace are ye saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." I can no longer boast. It's all God that did this for me. That's pretty much all I've got for you guys tonight. Like I said, you got the short end of the stick, but preacher told me to give you a testimony on why I love Jesus, and that right there is why. We'll pray, and we'll get you guys on your way. Lord, thank you for those that could be here tonight. Be with those at family camp and those still traveling, Lord. Pray for those that are sick and not able to make it. Lord, I pray that anyone here that has a storm brewing in their heart, Lord, and if that's true for anyone, God, I pray that they would turn it over to you and that their name would be written in the book of life. And Lord, this is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.